I am Plante on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. One of the funniest books I've read recently, one that I laughed out loud several times, is the newest from Dave Hill. It is called Parking the Moose, One American's Epic Quest to Uncover His Incredible Canadian Roots. He travels through parts of the country trying to understand Canada, the country of his grandfather, who spoke proudly of Clinton, Ontario, where he grew up in, before the family settled in Cleveland, Ohio, where Dave grew up. It's a fascinating journey that Mr. Hill takes. I'll ask him about some of the places, including Victoria, British Columbia, where it gets pricey with all the touristy things one is forced to do. I'll ask Dave about the food he had in the various cities that he goes to, like in Quebec, the Maritimes, and Toronto. It's a great sketch of who Canadians are and what this country is all about, told through the discerning and hilarious lens of an American. Dave Hill is a comedian, writer, and musician who now lives in New York City, where he joined me from 3.5 weeks ago. He has written for sundry publications, including the New York Times, the Paris Review, Salon, GQ, McSweeney's, and more. He has appeared on Comedy Central, among many other television outlets. His song, Go, is the theme song for the HBO series Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. His two previous books are Dave Hill Doesn't Live Here Anymore and Tasteful Nudes and Other Misguided Attempts at Personal Growth and Validation. This new book is published by Doubleday. Please welcome to the Plante Online program Dave Hill. Mr. Hill, good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So I was thinking as I was starting the book that this is what we need. It's a typical American thing for an American to come up here and explain Canada to us. But it's more than that, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it came from, my grandfather was from Clinton, Ontario, and growing up from Cleveland originally, and growing up, you know, in America, we're taught this idea of American exceptionalism and how great America is and how much better it is than everywhere else. But, you know, growing up at Sunday dinner, my grandfather would always tell us how, you know, Canada was actually the best. Mm. And that we have, you know, we're being taught the wrong thing. And so I grew up thinking, you know, like, oh, Canada's the best. So, you know, and I became, you know, really fascinated with the country. And, you know, I got really into hockey and just kind of all the usual things. So that was sort of my childhood. And then as an adult, I realized, you know, there's that most Americans really don't know a lot about Canada. You know, most Americans, well, I think less than a third of Americans have even left the country.
Right, right.
And, you know, if they've come to Canada at all, it's usually Toronto or Montreal or Vancouver, and that's about it.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to really see as much of the country as I could.
Yeah, it's a marvelous way that you view the country, in that you travel to these cities. I mean, I've lived in Canada my whole life, but haven't traveled it as widely as you have for this book. Do you think I need to travel the country in order to understand it, say?
Well, I think you're missing out if you don't. Mm. It seems like there's a lot of great, you know, it's a really diverse country, and you know, I was sort of fascinated with how different, you know, from, you know, Newfoundland to Quebec City to, you know, the West Coast and all that. There's many treasures.
Mm.
So, yeah. So I would encourage anyone, whether they live in Canada or wherever they live, to it's just a beautiful country.
How did your grandfather end up in the United States?
He somehow, I don't quite understand this, but when he was 15, he moved to Winnipeg to work in a shirt factory, and from that got into, you know, menswear, and, you know, I guess went to Detroit, and there were, like, a lot of clothing mills there. And then he wound up in Cleveland, and that's where he stayed. So that was his path, and, you know, so he spent most of his life in America.
And he remained a proud Canadian. I mean, that's you just mentioned about, you know, at the dinner table, how he'd wax poetic about it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he was very proud of his Canadian heritage. Yeah, absolutely. To his dying breath.
Yeah. How did you decide? Pardon me.
I felt like I kind of owed it to him to snoop around a little bit.
Yeah. How did you decide on the places to go to?
It usually was inspired by, you know, as often as possible, by family stuff. You know, from his birthplace of Clinton, Ontario, to, you know, to then going to Winnipeg was because he went there when he was 15, and my relatives, when they came from Ireland, you know, went to Halifax first. So, things like that, and, you know, but, you know, I wanted to see as much of it as I could, and you know, there was just personal, like, you know, on the West Coast, my uncle had said that Victoria was thought it was the most beautiful city he'd ever seen in the world. So I thought, well, I have to go there. I got to see that.
Yeah.
So I wrote about that, and you know, just in some cases, just my ignorance. Newfoundland, I knew was the place where my favorite breed of dog, Newfoundlands, were from.
Yeah, yeah.
And I learned this before I went, but up until shortly before I went, I assumed there had to be, you know, best case scenario, I thought there would be, like, just packs of Newfoundlands, like, running over the hillside.
Yeah, yeah.
Or at the very least, I thought, well, there's got to be at least more of them than in most places. But my buddy Reed was dating someone there, and he said, I hate to break it to you, but they don't really have them there any more than anywhere else. I was like, it was a tough blow.
And you could have ended up in New Brunswick too, right? If you'd clicked the wrong thing on the booking thing.
Oh my gosh, I was so close. I mean, it was 50-50. My just not understanding the abbreviations,
the difference between St. John and St. John's. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it almost happened. So, I mean, book two, I'll go to New Brunswick.
There you go, yeah. Where did you get the idea that or the impression that Victoria is Vancouver's bitch?
That was just sort of I think I was just trying to start trouble around the dinner table. I mean, I'm sure there's someone out there who says that's true, but I really don't know one way or another.
Yeah.
But it's a fun fun idea to, you know, get people get people worked up.
Indeed. And but you do meant to talk about your travels in Victoria and the places that you saw there, Butchart Gardens, you did high tea at the Empress, you went to Miniature World. These were places that people told you had to see, right?
Yeah. Well, Miniature World, I kind of stumbled upon it or saw some ads for it or something. I you know, just yesterday I was talking about Miniature World, and that my girlfriend was horrified by Miniature World, and she, just at the mention of it yesterday, she said, that place terrified me. I just imagined that all those people were real and they were trapped. And she was really scarred by her Miniature World experience. And but yeah, the other places like Butchart Gardens, we just kept hearing about it, and we went. Yeah, and it's very nice, but it seemed more like for someone's great aunt or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I counted it up; those three places alone, that's more than $175, right?
Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it. Oh, my gosh, you're right.
Yeah. A person, too.
Yeah, I didn't think. Pardon?
A person, too, not just for the two of you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were all super expensive. And honestly, if I had to say, Miniature World, worth every penny.
Really?
But the others, I don't know. I'm not a big finger sandwich guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And rose garden, or just sort of a, it was expensive.
Yeah. The you do mention going to Carlton Club Cabaret in Victoria. And that's the thing that I was getting throughout the book, because you're obviously a big metal fan. What am I missing not listening to heavy metals?
Well, I think with metal, I mean, a lot of people dismiss it because, you know, there's a lot of silliness, both in terms of sort of machismo, I guess, and, you know, sort of fantasy lyrics and things like that. But I think it's just fun, you know, I with metal, at least the metal that I enjoy, I think it's just fun. And I like the idea of people pushing things to their limit, you know, just even, you know, a lot of the metal that I enjoy seeing or even listening to, I maybe don't want to hear it too long,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just glad it's happening, if that makes any sense.
Right.
I'm just impressed that some drummer's learning how to go, you know.
Yeah.
I admire the dedication. But I balance it out. I listen to all kinds of music, so.
Yeah.
I'm able to give myself a little break, but maybe when I'm in Montreal, I might go to a metal show,
get
a little Canadian metal in.
Yeah, and I mentioned Carlton Club Cabaret. That was a place that people told you not to go to, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, from the online reviews and our cab driver, but you know, it kind of had this sign. It was just calling me. I thought, this looks like it's fun, or at least interesting.
Yeah.
And all the reviews were just saying, like, I think they said low-life hillbillies or something hung out there, and the cab driver said, you know, your feet will stick to the floor. And just the more bad things I heard and read about it, I couldn't wait to go.
Yeah.
So it kind of ended up being, I mean, really it was the other end of the spectrum from, say, the tea, the high tea that we had.
Yeah.
But somehow more satisfying in the big picture.
Now, but prior to the travels for the book, were you a fan of poutine?
No. I mean, I'd only had it once before. I mean, just the idea of it, the description of it, before I had had it, it sounded disgusting.
Exactly.
You know, and I think partially because the word curd, it's an unfortunate word, you know, and it's because it's just one letter away from cud, which is even grosser.
Yeah.
And I had poutine in Montreal a few years ago, and I don't know if I got a bad batch or what, but it was just, I had a couple of bites and threw it in the trash. And then, but I decided when it came time to research this book, I was, you know, I had to really revisit the subject. And I'm a big fan, maybe arguably too big of a fan, because I eat it without discrimination. I know you're only supposed to have it in Quebec and
right,
and maybe the Quebec adjacent parts of Ontario.
Sure.
But I will eat it anywhere in Canada, and I will love it.
So you're talking to me from Toronto today, but you live in New York.
I do, yeah.
Can you settle the debate between which bagels are better, Montreal or New York?
Ooh, I mean, that's a tough one. I guess it depends. I mean, I think for an on-the-go lifestyle, I think the Montreal bagel is better.
Because
it's less like, it's a bit less of a beating, I guess. because they're a bit smaller and they don't weigh you down as much. But they're both pretty special, I would say. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if it sounds like I'm pandering, but right now, as I talk about it, I'm more craving a Montreal bagel.
Really?
But yeah. That could be because I know I'm going to be in Montreal in a couple days.
There you go.
And I can satisfy the itch.
Yeah. I mentioned traveling to Montreal and going to Quebec. I mean, that's something that's confounded Canadians in terms of identity for since the beginning of Canada. Having been there, you traveled to Montreal, you traveled to Quebec City. I mean, is there a way to explain Canada through Quebec?
I don't know. It is its own. I really like Quebec. I'm a little intimidated when I go there because I speak almost no French.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel even more intimidated than when I'm in Paris and I don't speak French. For whatever reason, I feel like that I should be able to say more than I can. I can say, you know, hello, things like that. But it is interesting how different it is there. And
a lot of my reticence for traveling the country is because I feel that Quebec is a big part of the identity of being a Canadian or Canada, I should say, and.
Yeah.
At the same time, yeah, because I don't speak the lingo, I would probably miss half of it, or more than half of it, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, when you're traveling, when you're hanging out there?
Yeah, I would think that, and so that's why I haven't been there.
Yeah, well, I think it's sort of part of the fun is just kind of seeing what happens. And if it goes horribly wrong, it can be kind of fun also.
Yeah.
I mean, I get to entertain when I feel like someone's starting to resent me. I feel like I got a bit of that in Quebec. And so, you know, especially being an American, you know, the idea of, you know, that I'd heard that the people of Quebec sort of resented the rest of Canada, so I figured they would resent an American even more so. So I couldn't wait to go there.
Yeah. the idea, like I've never been. I was in Toronto a couple weeks ago, just changing planes. That's the first time I've ever been to Toronto. But
oh, and where are you based?
In Vancouver.
And you're in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Oh wow! So you stay out west?
Pretty much, yeah. And so, but the idea of hating Toronto, though, because you talk about that in the book. I mean, that's something that's. I think we're born to do that out here.
Yeah, and that's something I honestly didn't know until I started the book. You know, someone from my publisher told me that, and I was like, "Well, why?" And they said, "They just do," you know. And I didn't understand it because I was like, "Well, Toronto's great. Why, you know, why wouldn't they? They like it." And but it's kind of funny to hear. But I guess I also didn't realize that Toronto is arguably the least Canadian city
because
it's only about half Canadians. But I don't know. I have a nice time here. I'm a fan of Toronto.
I think you even compared to New York at one point in the book, do you not?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty similar, you know, but I mean, or maybe the Canadian equivalent. I mean, I don't get a New York vibe when I walk around Toronto.
Sure.
But yeah, just sort of the big city and international vibe and all that. But I guess it could be sort of the same thing where in America people resent New York and sort of find new ways to resent New York, you know, especially now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it used to be like, New York, you guys are all just big, mean people. you know, and then now, New York, you're all a bunch of socialists. You know, it's just like just coming up with totally different reasons to hate New York, yeah. depending on what's going on.
You pose a great question at the beginning of the book. How could a country so close to the United States manage to be so different from us? And having traveled the country now and having seen it as you have, I mean, there's something unique, obviously, to this country.
Yeah.
And it's a miracle, isn't it, that we've managed to retain our own identity, regardless of where we are.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think there's a variety of reasons. You know, the English influence, I think, is a big part of it. And also, the American Revolution, I think, mm-hmm. has sort of affected the American. It just runs so deeply, I think, to put it sort of in a crass way, I think Americans have just like a deep-seated feeling of that, like, people are trying to fuck with them mm-hmm. all the time, which like maybe isn't in the Canadian psyche to some extent. But it's, you know, it's amazing to me, you know, things like healthcare, mm-hmm. you know, how Americans still can't wrap their head around the idea of public healthcare. Where, just the north of us has been working out fine for quite a while.
Yeah.
And, most industrialized nations in the world.
Right.
It's part, partially the thing of America, sort of this resistance to look anywhere else, even the next country over, to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. As a result of writing the book, do you feel more Canadian?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think it was nice to get in touch with just, see the places my grandfather had talked about and to really get a better sense of where he was from and some of my other extended family and it was interesting, especially during the time when I was researching the book, it kind of kicked off coincidentally right at a time when I think suddenly America was becoming a lot more interested in Canada.
Mm.
So many, so many people looking like, oh, maybe we should move to Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just coincidentally, I didn't plan it that way, but it just kind of happened that I was really in the thick of it. Right around the 2016 election is when I was really getting into all this.
Will there be a volume two?
I would love it, I think we'll have to see. Hopefully people will enjoy this one. And there's certainly much more to see in Canada. I mean, it's a massive country.
Right.
And despite having been to a lot of places, I really wanted to go to, obviously I have to go to New Brunswick, for mm-hmm. starters, but the Yukon, Northwest Territories, Nunavut, there's a lot more to see, and I think there could be, but I'm too a little shy to ask my publisher yet, since it's not out yet, but
yeah.
We'll see, maybe next week I'll ask them.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's a enjoyable book. As I told you before we started, it's funny. There's so many laugh-out-loud moments for me as I was reading it. Congratulations on it. Good luck with the book, Dave.
Oh, thank you so much, and thanks for talking to me.
The book is called Parking the Moose, One American's Epic Quest to Understand His Incredible Canadian Roots. It's published by Doubleday. Dave Hill, join me on the line from New York City in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.